Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Talk about a lemon!
What's wrong with you?
We can talk about a lemon. We're going to talk about Don Lemon. Yeah, all righty. This is Wretched Radio. Leave it to Don Lemon to lead the charge in what I think many of us saw coming. The people on the left who observed the Charlie Kirk Memorial are calling it Christian nationalism. And this is subject number two. I think we evangelicals really do well to take some time, first of all, sorting and then articulating. Because I haven't heard, myself included, anybody articulate well just what it looks like for Christian engagement in politics when a nation formerly used to be predominantly Christian. How do you bring your Christianity into either the public square or the government arena? And these are issues we need to understand have historically been challenging. And I think right now we would do really, really well to spend some time. I doubt that we are going to have complete unity on this issue, but I think we better try to articulate it. And as we do, can we do it while maintaining unity, even in disagreement? And you say, wait a second, you can't have unity if there's disagreement. Oh, yes, you can. If you're square on the essentials, you have unity. When you disagree on issues of church, state, government, jurisdiction, what the role of church, state is, who has what authority over what, how far can the government go, what can the Christian response be to a tyrannical government? These are things that historically, we've talked about them for years here on Wretched Radio. We've never had consensus, but we can still have unity, can't we? Unity is sweet. Jimmy, get ready. I've got a sermon illustration.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to use it in a sermon. I'm kind of allergic to illustrations. I don't know why, but I, especially personal. Pastor, you can certainly talk about yourself during the sermon and use something that happened that week as an illustration. Rock on. Seriously. From my perspective, no harm, no foul. I just can't do it. I guess I'll use it here. I don't know what the difference is, but here we are. Mrs. Friel and I went to a meeting in our subdivision. We live in it's not a very big HOA community. And somebody wants to build something on the land that abuts to our division. And they want to use the roads and all of that stuff. So at any rate, we got together for a meeting. Everybody brought their chairs. We sat out on the middle of the street and talked about the property right there. That's what they're going to do. How does everybody feel about this? And guess what happened? We all agreed. And as we pick up our chairs, very brief meeting because everybody agreed. Very brief meeting. Please note, it was a very brief meeting because we had consensus. And as we're walking down the street back to our respective homes, a guy said, "Man, that was really nice. We all agreed." And I went, B-I-N-G-O, there it is. When we agree on the essentials, it is so nice. When we agree on everything, isn't it better? Don't you just love being with somebody where it's like, dude, we're like on the same page with just about everything. It's really sweet, isn't it? And I think if nothing else, it points toward the sweetness of unity, how delightful it is, how good, how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. We want to strive for that. We want that to be something that we want it. And then on the occasions when we can't have it because it's an essential issue, we mourn that. Because Jesus wants us to be one, even as he and the Father are one. And we need to be able to find that balance of holding firmly to the essentials and slightly more loosely on the non-essentials so that we can have unity together. And I think this is one of those times, and this is not the first time I've said it, which is why Don Lemon did not surprise me in the least. the debate over Christian nationalism, what it is, the role of Christians in politics, et cetera, et cetera. Let's talk about it, because Don Lemon is saying what he saw at the Charlie Kirk Memorial, that's Christian nationalism. And even a Christian nationalist, of whom I am not a part, they would say, no, it wasn't. But I don't think I've heard anybody articulate why it wasn't. Now, I'm not even saying it was. I'm just saying I've never heard anybody say, well, here's how we Christians do this. And I think if we listen to the words of Don Lemon, which apparently very few people do these days, then I think that maybe it will help us to sharpen how we speak about these issues. According to Don Lemon, former CNN host, I guess he's been going out into the street. I saw that video when he finds himself a conservative in New York or wherever he is. He doesn't quite know how to respond to them there people. He said the Turning Point Charlie Kirk Memorial was a thin-veiled political rally dressed as church. Now, you and I might be willing to go, ah, Don Lemon, and be done with it. I don't think we should. Because here's the reality. And by the way, we did a video on this. I thought it was an extraordinary event. And I mean that in a positive kind of way. Overall, yep, quibble here, quibble there. But overall, wow. The gospel was genuinely proclaimed so repeatedly. It was just staggering. But there was politics and there was church. Apparently, I think somebody said, I saw a tweet where somebody said that the open, like the music that was playing between the speakers was actually Grace Community Church, which is kind of cool. Okay, so it was kind of churchy, wasn't it? It was a memorial for a man who is a Christian. And so, of course, we're going to speak Christianly, but they talked about politics. So what does a guy like Don Lemon see? It was a thinly veiled political rally dressed as church. You articulate that and tell Don why that's wrong. Go. It's not easy. And what I'm saying is, I think we need to be able to articulate it, to explain it to the Don Lemons of the world. I think we need, and not all Christians are going to be singing out the same song sheet on this issue, but I think the ability to say, well, you know, you can talk about politics and talk about your Christian faith simultaneously. Well, Don has concerns. He said the event wasn't just about a man who died. This was about a movement claiming divine permission to rule. Now, I didn't see that. I didn't even hear anything resembling that. But Don Lemon did. A liberal did. I think the Charlie Kirk Memorial scared people who are, ooh, wow, they're angry, aren't they? Did you see, Jimmy, is this story true about the young lady? On Tuesday, Donald Trump, Robert Kennedy made the announcement that they believe acetaminophen and Tylenol is the cause, is like the big cause for the increase in autism diagnoses. And immediately, I saw this on Not the Bee. And women, you could just see their baby bumps taking Tylenol.
Yeah.
Like,
several have gone to the ER with toxicity.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Okay. That's who we're living with. We need to help them understand. You don't need to be scared. And so I think we need to use Don Lemon we don't have to talk about him all the time, but just he represents a lot of people and his thinking is represented from his podcast. I think we need to engage with. And as I stand here, look, I'm saying it too. It's not, I don't think that I can express, I've got an opinion on church, state and all that jazz, Christian engagement, how we influence, don't, what that looks like. I kind of have it sorted pretty clearly in my mind. Ask me to articulate it. Currently, as I look at the clock, we have 2 minutes and 10 seconds left. I don't think I could get it done. And my point is we need to. These days, communication, we need to have text length. We need to be able to Twitter something like, boom, this is why, Don, you don't need to be in a panic over what you saw. Don Lemon said, it was a revival meeting wrapped in a memorial. Okay. A political rally dressed as church. What does he care? It was a dude's funeral. It was a memorial. I mean, what did, at any rate. And by the end of the night, it was clear this was not only about Charlie Kirk's death. It was about his afterlife in politics. It was religious nationalism on full display. Okay, was it? And if it was, how do you explain that that shouldn't be a problem? And if it wasn't, how would you tell Don, no, it's not? And I really, really wish that I had a fortune cookie in front of me that I could open and say, well, here's what we say to people. I don't have that because I haven't been able to articulate it. And it is my observation, nobody else has been either. And this is not, this is not to create more camps in our conservative circles. It's to encourage us. We got to be able to respond to this stuff. He said, the language was unmistakable. Take the nation back for God. Restore America's covenant. I heard none of that. I heard none of that. But he saw that. He said, this, it sounded like this is not the language of democracy. This is the language of domination. Very concerned about government officials speaking out about their Christian faith. Okay. I didn't have a problem with it. Now, would I have had a problem with it if it had been like the mayor of Dearbornistan? Did you see that video, by the way? How do we explain to the Don Lemons of the world, whatever your position is, in a pithy way, so that they can at least understand? This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Giffert, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you've grabbed the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truth should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit fortisinstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. God is incomprehensible. Finite humans cannot fully comprehend the one who created everything. Yet he has revealed himself in the Bible, and while we cannot know him exhaustively, we can know what is true about him. And once we are reconciled through Christ, we will never stop learning about him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What kind of fool am I? Please don't answer that question. This is Wretched Radio. What was I thinking? I'm blathering on about the need, in my opinion, for evangelicals to articulate their position regarding free speech and the mingling of church and state, what that looks like, what it doesn't look like. So confused people like Don Lemon don't have a conniption over a memorial where the gospel was proclaimed, thinking that's Christian nationalism. See, they want to take over the country. How do we articulate our position? And right before my very eyes, although I better look hard because it appears that he is the incredible shrinking man, is Jimmy Hicks. Jimmy, how much weight have you lost anyway?
61 pounds.
Dude, like overnight.
Not overnight.
No, seriously. When did you start the? Are you doing the Ozempic shot in the tummy?
No. That stuff's expensive.
Is it?
And I have horrible insurance. No.
All right. So you're not. Well, what are you doing?
It's a long story to explain, but basically, I'm fasting.
Not eating anything?
But I mean, I'm eating, but not.
Is it intermittent fasting?
It's a version of that.
So you're writing your own rules.
Basically,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Cool. But you're dropping pounds like nobody's business. Are you like getting lightheaded? You're going to pass out on us?
No, I do electrolytes too, so that doesn't happen. But I feel better than I have ever felt in my life.
Dude, that rocks.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
I am a believer in this.
Yeah, but, okay. You've disclosed it before, so I'm not revealing something private here. You got rid of your diabetes by losing a bunch of weight.
Yeah, I did years ago. And that's why I started back this time, because I went to the doctor just for the checkup and my A1C was elevated and I gained 50 pounds, which I didn't know because I didn't get on the scale. So it was just ignorance. I knew I was gaining some weight, didn't know how much. And so my A1C, it wasn't at diabetic level, but it was trending.
It was knocking on the door.
Yeah, and I did not want to go back to that place again. So.
But you know what, Jimmy? I hate to rebuke you publicly, but you could be a lot happier. Instead of this dieting business, you could just eat whatever you want to. Take those pills that lower your A1C and you'll be dancing in the grocery store and on the football field all the time. They're so happy.
Chasing butterflies.
Those lowering their A1C pharmaceutical people. So congratulations to you. You're Thank shrinking you. Right before. Are you going to keep going with this?
Absolutely, yeah.
What down to what?
I think I've got about 20 more pounds to go.
All right. So everybody take a good look at Jimmy Hicks while you can still see him. The other day, you were so bang on with your points, the 10 points that you created about the need for reformation. Charlie Kirk is sparking a revival, okay, we'll just live with that language. What did you call it? The Charlie effect?
That's what social media is calling it.
Okay, so the Charlie effect is that it's sparking some sort of national revival, or at least it's contributing to it. Mm-hmm. But you say, hey, we got to look at the next step, which is reformation.
Correct.
And you came up with 10 points. They were so good.
Well, 11 now. After I wrote the article, it turned into 11.
All righty.
You gave me the 11th one, honoring our elders.
So do I get credit for this?
You do. I'll put you on the article, like anybody's reading it anyways.
Okay. But they were so good. So now let me ask you, O font of all wisdom, do you have the ability to articulate freedom of speech, your position, in 15 seconds or less, and explain your understanding of church-state relationships so that Don Lemon doesn't continue to have conniptions over a memorial service that talked about Jesus Christ? So, I mean, honestly.
Yeah, so I probably still have a struggle articulating the Christian nationalism thing to Don Lemon, but on the freedom of speech thing, freedom of speech, if we look at the Constitution, is protection from the government, not from private enterprise. So the government can't make laws and then throw us in jail. So if you look at the Jimmy Kimmel situation, his freedom of speech wasn't violated because he wasn't hauled off and thrown in jail.
Okay, but the argument though that we heard from Warren Cole Smith, or at least presenting that side, he's leaning that way, it seemed, but that, well, then you're next, Jimmy. You go to work for whomever, secular company. Mm-hmm. And let's just say you do a Christian podcast. They don't like what they hear. They can fire you for it.
If it's their company that I'm working for, they have every right to, because they own the company.
So then how do you explain all of the belly aching that we did when that was happening under the Biden administration?
Well, I mean, I have to have some examples, but because if the government is getting involved, like you mentioned in that article that the FCC may have put the pressure, that's a problem because the government is then strong arming. But if it's outside of that, if it's private enterprise, they have every
right. So your distinction is we're only freedom of speech is protected from the government,
right.
But no other, like not a corporate entity.
Right.
Not a universe. Not well, that would be government. Right. So a university can fire you too. Yeah. If you express your Christian values to the students.
Well, if they have told you expressly up front not to do it, I would say yes.
But wouldn't you have the right to do it? Well, if you're employed by somebody, I think that you need to obey your employer.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
But in a government school that's run by the government, mm-hmm. you don't think that the teacher doesn't have the right to speak about their Christian faith in the classroom?
Well, because that's a law at this point, is it not?
A little bit muddy on that, but yeah. I do know this. You were looking for examples. I do know some teachers. They lost their jobs in public schools because. Oh, but what about the football guy who was just praying on the 50-yard line?
Yeah, see, those are. I mean, everything is. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, my encouragement is. Let's talk this through. Look, I'm yakking back and forth with you just to kind of press in and try to get it sorted. We've got to be, you would do well to get this figured out mm-hmm. because I suspect these two battles are going to get a little hotter again, courtesy of Charlie Kirk, who apparently, according to Ilhan Omar, was a hateful man. And by the way, she lied about him repeatedly. She was at a town council meeting at Elam Lutheran Church in Robbinsdale, Minnesota. I didn't have to go Google to see if it was ELCA. I'm sure that it was. It was a town hall. She lied repeatedly about Charlie Kirk. Okay. Does she have the right to do that, Jimmy? To lie about Charlie Kirk?
It's protected speech.
But she's a government official.
Was she in a government setting at that, making laws?
Well, she was acting as a government representative.
I think she has every right to say, hate speech is protected speech. I mean, it's not illegal to be a jerk.
What about lying?
It's protected speech.
What if it hurts somebody?
I think
libel. I think slander and libel are different things.
It's completely different. It's not illegal. I mean, it's illegal to incite violence.
Okay, there's the word incite. So let's talk about it incites, not like Charles Swindoll, but incites somebody to go out and hurt somebody.
Yeah, then that's
not protected either.
No, that's not protected at all.
Right. Speaking of Charlie Kirk, his wife is saying she doesn't want to be the only one to decide if her husband's alleged killer gets the death penalty. I think this is a really, really important subject to consider because I personally, increasingly, it's not going to become my hobby horse, but the death penalty, it is a biblical idea. I think it reveals a higher view of man. Yes, it does. Because human beings are so special that if you take the life of a human being, you forfeit your life. That's how precious life is. And I think increasingly we need to be taking a look at the death penalty as a nation to deal with people who are just being brutal killers out there. So here's what Erica Kirk said. I've had so many people say, do you feel anger toward this man? Do you want to seek the death penalty? I'll be honest. I told our lawyer, I want the government to decide this. Okay. At that point, I say, I agree. Well, of course, because it's not your jurisdiction. That would be a nightmare situation to live in. That's the government. They're the minister to carry out those punishments. But then she went on, I do not want that man's blood on my ledger. And that's where I would say, Erica, it isn't. You can say that you believe the death penalty should be imposed. You're not the one that's imposing it. You can hold that position without having his blood on your hands. I think you can hold those two simultaneously. She said, when I get to heaven and Jesus is like, eye for an eye, is that how we do it? No, that's not the same thing as the government wielding the sword. The eye for an eye, lex talionis, the law of retaliation. We are not to be the people who take vengeance into our own hands. We turn the other cheek to insults. Now you can defend yourself physically, but we cannot go about the business of you punch me in the arm, I'm going to punch you in the arm. But I've got to keep it at the same level. Well, we're forbidden from doing that. We are not the retaliation people, but that is not the same as the minister appointed by God to go about the business of making sure that we live peaceful lives. And of course, that minister is the government. So I think a Christian can simultaneously say that we're not the retaliatory people. In fact, we must be that people. We're not the vigilantes, if you're concerned or confused about it, Don Lemon. But that doesn't mean that we cannot call for the government to do what is just. And that is, if an individual takes a life, their life is required of them. And the Bible gives the government that authority and that power to do that. And that should not cause you to think that you have anybody's blood on your hands because you're calling for the government to do what the Bible says they're supposed to do. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.